Genesis 37, verse 1. Everybody have it. Say amen.
Amen.
And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, "Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheep arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf." And his brethren said to him, "Shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us?" And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream.
Yeah.
Think on that. And told it his brethren, and said, "Behold, I've dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me." And he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, "What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and my mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee to the earth?" And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying, or kept the matter in mind. Amen? Praise God. They're going to blast the shofars. We want you to give them a praise for his word. Amen. Come on, release his, amen, your obedience to him today, right now, in the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Okay. Hallelujah.
Come on.
Thank you, God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may be seated. If the Lord will allow me, I want to minister on this thought. Simply, it ain't over. It ain't over. Look at your neighbor and say, "It ain't over." Amen. Come on, now say it. Mean it. It ain't over. Praise God. It ain't over. Hallelujah. Praise God. We know that Genesis is filled with a lot of genealogy. Amen. It's a book, amen, that has a lot of genealogy, and for good reason. The word Genesis, you know, in the Hebrew is the word Bereshit, and it simply means in the beginning. So it takes us, amen, gives us recourse of from where everything began, as God allows us to know. Amen. And so in Genesis, there are a lot of begats. Amen. There's a lot of family history. Amen. And so we kind of see, amen, a lot of the begats and a lot of that family history is listed in the book of Genesis. And we see how, amen, that the flow of life is just moving, amen, forward as time is evolving. We don't really perceive it so much in that mindset, because we, you know, we're here and we know it all, and we've seen it from and know it from Genesis to Revelation, amen. So we don't often keep those things in mind as we're reading it, but we see, amen, in Genesis that how the flow of life moving forward and God doing things. He moved from, amen, creation and bringing, then sin came, and then we see that the earth, amen, came increasingly wicked, and God said, "I cannot let this go on any longer." So he sent the flood, amen, and destroyed, amen, the people, all but Noah and his family that were saved in the ark. And then we go from Noah, and it moves in Noah's family. God, they begin to beget, amen, children and families. And then it moves on, and then we get into Abraham, and Abraham comes, amen, and becomes the first Hebrew, becomes, amen, the first one who is willing to cross over, amen, that Ivorit, amen, in the language, praise God. And then we see the covenant coming in. We see Abraham giving birth to Ishmael and Isaac, amen, and we see the separation there, and it just kind of keeps moving and flowing, and we see those things, amen. And so life, amen, just kind of flows as we see time evolving, amen. But I want us to look here today, amen, that Joseph's dream kind of interrupted life. Joseph's dream interrupted the flow of life that was happening, amen, in his family. Praise God. You see, before the dream, the Bible says, as we read to you, amen, that Jacob dwelt in the land. And then verse 2 says, these are the generations of Jacob. Amen. These are those generations of Jacob. And so we're expecting God to kind of list, or the word to begin to list all of the children and how it kind of flows. But right there, amen, after it says, these are the generations of Jacob, we have an interruption that is in there. And it says Joseph was 17 years old. Amen. That's kind of not how it generally flows. Amen. In what we read and what we see. And so that dream, amen, of Joseph kind of interrupted the flow of life. And the Bible just takes us and stops and says, wait a minute, I need you to see something here. And then it tells us that Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flocks with his brethren. Amen. We understand, amen, that, praise God, Jacob had other sons. Amen. And so he was feeding the flocks with his brethren. But then the Bible tells us that Jacob loved Joseph the most. He loved Joseph the most out of all his other 11 sons. He loved Joseph the most because Joseph was the son of his old age. Amen. Joseph was a reminder to Jacob of the blessing, amen, and the goodness of God. And the Bible tells us, very familiar story to most of you, if you were raised in church at all, went to Sunday school as a child, no doubt you heard this story many, many times, and probably colored pictures and all kinds of things with this. But the Bible says that Jacob made him a cloak or a coat of many colors as a symbol of this sentiment of his love and his favor and his devotion to Joseph. Amen. 17 years old. Amen. And the Bible says that he made him a coat of many colors. And here's what you got to understand. His brothers were probably okay with Joseph as long as he went with the flow of what they were doing. How many's got a younger sibling? Amen. Anybody in here have a younger sibling? How many knows, amen, that a lot of times the youngest sibling gets on the nerves of the older sibling? There's just a common irritation. Listen, amen, in our house, Leighton and Merritt fuss and fight and bicker all the time. Amen, because Merritt is always getting on Leighton's nerves. Amen, praise God, not just because he's a boy, but because he's that younger brother. Amen, and so until, amen, you get a little older, you don't learn to appreciate, amen, their place in your life. Amen, but I can imagine that as long as Joseph went with the flow, amen, of what they were doing, they were okay with him. But then he starts wearing, amen, this coat of many colors. Now he's standing out. Here they are with their plain old cloaks, amen. They're common tunics that they wore, amen. Obviously they tended sheep, so probably just an average shepherd's cloak. But now here comes Joseph one day to the field helping to tend the sheep, and he's dressed in this, amen, a coat that is made of all of these different colors. I can imagine them saying, oh, who does he think he is? And the orange and the yellow and the blue and amen, the green and all of those and the red, all those colors. Amen. And the Bible says, it teaches us, history teaches that this tunic of Joseph's was long sleeve. So it flowed down his arms and it went down, amen, probably to his ankles. It wasn't like a coat that we see that we put on in the wintertime. Amen. But it was a covering. So now here he shows up one day in the field, amen, to tend sheep with this coat of many colors. Amen. And the Bible says that they reached the point that they could not even talk to Joseph in a civil manner. So imagine, he could not even ask a simple question without getting rebuked or yelled at, amen, or told how stupid the question was, or find out for yourself, or nobody cares what you think. He couldn't even talk about the weather. He couldn't talk about the sheep. He certainly couldn't talk about, amen, Jacob, their father, amen, because the Bible says they would not, it got to where they could not even speak to him in a civil manner. Hallelujah. Now, somewhere in this process, amen, Jacob and Joseph developed a relationship, and that's how we see this coat being made. Amen. Jacob wanted, amen, that symbol of his love and his favor over Joseph's life with this coat. Amen. So now here he shows up, and the Bible says he went and tattled on his brothers. He gave his dad the evil report, and that just like the younger sibling. I'm the youngest of my siblings. But I never tattled on them. No, they can't say that because I'll be fed that. Amen. Praise God. But I used to make them pay me not to tattle. Mike was 11 years older than me, and he smoked. He hid and smoked, and we had this little ledge. Him and I shared a bedroom, and we had this little ledge, and he would hide his pack of cigarettes up in that ledge, amen. And I would just get in that box of smoked Marlboro. I'd get in, I'd take every one of them out, break them and throw them away, put the empty box back up there, and I'd say, if you don't give me money, I'm going to tell Mom you're smoking. So he paid me money, and he couldn't tell on me for stealing and breaking his cigarettes, and I throw them away because he didn't tell himself for smoking so long. As manipulative that is, as it was, it worked. It made a 7-year-old boy a little richer. But they went and tattled on, he went and tattled on them and told them that he was treating me mean, okay? So now here again, he shows up with this coat, amen? And so they hated him even more, the Bible says, amen? But can I tell you something? Amen, they hated him for the relationship before they hated him for the coat. Amen, they hated him for the relationship that he had with their father before they hated him for the coat. I've come to tell somebody this morning to remind you that the enemy doesn't hate you for what you have. The enemy doesn't care for the blessings that are in your life. The enemy does not care how much money you have. The enemy does not care how much God blesses you, because he has access to riches and fame and all of the things that he could bless and give you as well. So the enemy doesn't hate you for what you have. He hates who you have. And that's what you got to understand this morning. We get focused so much on the blessing or the lack thereof as a symbol of the favor of God in our lives. And that is true, and they are there. But ultimately, first and foremost, it's about our relationship with the Father. I don't know who is here today that I'm talking to. Praise God. But I want you to understand that, amen, it's not what you have that the enemy hates. He hates who you have. Hallelujah. And if you have a relationship with the Father through Jesus Christ, that's what the enemy hates. Are you with me? Now he's going to pull out and use anybody that he can to try to stop and hinder you. But let's be reminded that our battle is not with one another. It is not with other people. It's not even with things. It's not with wealth or a career or nothing. It is with, amen, the enemy of our soul. Hallelujah. And so now that coat represented favor. But here's what you got to understand. You say, why would they get so upset, amen, of the relationship between Joseph and Jacob? Hallelujah. Because Joseph was getting the inheritance of the firstborn. Amen. This coat was representative that this young 17-year-old punk, amen, was getting the inheritance of the firstborn, who
was legally right, had the rights to the firstborn inheritance. It was Reuben. But the Bible tells us Reuben messed up. Reuben slept with Jacob's concubine. Amen. And that was considered an incestuous arrangement. And so he was stripped of his birthright. He messed up. Amen. And lost that. And so now, amen, Jacob is giving, amen, Reuben's firstborn inheritance because he disqualified himself. Amen. Joseph wasn't supposed to have, amen, the firstborn birthright. But because of the way he lived, I believe there was something about the way Joseph lived. I believe Joseph, amen, even at his young age, was a person of integrity. There was obviously something there about him, amen, that allowed God to use him, amen, and for Jacob to give him that favor. And I tell you that none of us in here today deserve, amen, the inheritance that Jesus died for, that we could have. None of us, each and every one of us, amen, have been made heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Every one of us are just as if we are the firstborn, amen, child in the family. We give the double portion, we get that, amen, the favor and the blessing. And that's what the enemy understands about relationship. And so now, again, you got Joseph wearing that coat while he was working with them. Can I tell you, listen, praise God, he knew they already hated him. And then for him to wear this coat, he knew that his father gave him this coat. And I'm sure that his dad didn't just say, "Here, son, I just made you this coat." But I'm sure his dad, amen, expressed his favor, amen, and his affection for Joseph. And so Joseph comes wearing that, that coat, amen. And so now, can I tell you something? God, and listen to me. Help me, Lord, not to say something that I don't, that I shouldn't. Amen. Praise God. I don't know where things are taking us in the world. I don't know in the prophetic timeline where things are, how we're going to move into that and the things that we're going to see and we're going to experience. But I will tell you this, that I believe more than ever before, we are in the time that those of us who consider ourselves the remnant of the bride of Christ, that consider ourselves, amen, covenant children of God, we have got to be confident in who we are in our relationship with Him. I believe that there's going to be things that we're going to have to withstand and things that could happen, amen, that is going to challenge, amen, our confidence in who we are with our relationship with God, because that will involve our trust. That will involve a lot of things, amen, when it comes down to the metal meeting, the rubber meeting the road, amen. So I said that to say this. Joseph could have very well left his coat at home when he went to the field. But he was confident in his relationship with his father. Amen. That no matter what his brother said or thought about him, he showed up with that coat. And can I tell you, the enemy loathes anybody who has confidence in their relationship with God. He despises anyone who, even though in the midst of turmoil and persecution and irritation and resistance and even rejection, that even in the midst of sheer torment, they can come and show up, hallelujah, with the identity that you may not want me here. You may think I don't belong in this place I am, but I know whose I am. Sword and with a spear, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. Who does that uncircumcised Philistine giant think he is, resisting the very name of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Do you know who my God is? You don't belong. The enemy will tell you, you don't belong. song in the pew next to the praiser. You don't have the right to lift your hands and worship in the tabernacle. You don't have the position to give and lift your hands to honor God. But I come this morning, I don't know who or how many I'm talking to, but I know that I was talked to early this morning, and this message, amen, is timely for somebody in this place. Hallelujah, it's a rhema word for somebody. Hallelujah, but when you show up, hallelujah, with that coat that your father gave you, that shows you got favor with the Father, and that he loves you as if you are the only child he's got, he will bless you and favor you, protect you, preserve you, shield you, cover you. Do for somebody, better help me in this place. Hallelujah. When you show up anyhow, and you stand up, and you square your shoulders back, and you lift your hands in his presence, and you lift your voice with a shout of praise, as if you're the only one in the room. God, somebody help me, I'm trying to lay a foundation. When you can do that, that lets the enemy know, guess what? It ain't over. It ain't over. It ain't over. Hallelujah. He hates when anyone has the confidence in their relationship with the Father.
You're talking right.
Joseph didn't do anything to deserve that other than be Joseph.
Well,
right.
Oh, come on, somebody.
That's what you do.
You don't like anyone who's confident in who they are in God. And I'm not talking about pride.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about arrogance. I'm talking about despite what happens, hallelujah, you know whose you are.
Come on now.
Remember, Job said the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. He's good when I got abundance. He's still good when I lack. Because in him, I never lack. Come on. Are you hearing me? So Joseph reveals that confidence. And it's not like they don't already hate him. Now, the Bible says hate. It's not like they don't already hate him.
Right.
Now he shows up to work in the field with a coat of many colors that is symbolic. That tells everybody else, there's where we get the problem.
See.
It's different when you're in the group and everybody looks the same and is on the same level, even though they know in their hearts that there's something different about you. But when you show up with this loud coat of many colors, now everybody else around is going to say, that's Daddy's favorite.
I'll take it.
Now they're going to have to deal and confront with that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what's wrong with this one and that one and this one and that one? What's wrong with the other 11? Mm-hmm. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Right? So you got to think about something. Satan used to reflect the glory of God. I want you to try to picture that. He's not this red, devilish looking thing with horns and a pitchfork. He was donned with the name Lucifer, which means morning star. And he was anointed, still is. But he was anointed. We conclude from the scriptures that he was probably over the music and the worship, because there was all kinds of musical instrument sounds that came out of him. So let's be reminded there's only one sound that can come out of him, and that was the sound of the shofar. That's exclusive to heaven. Come on, somebody. That's one sound they can't imitate. Glory to God.
Praise God.
he used to stand in the presence of God and the throne and worship. And so the glory, he used to reflect the glory of God, but then he was cast out of heaven because he wanted to be like God. He wanted the attention and the glory that God was getting. And we know that he can mess the third of the angels. Then God turns around and creates man in his image.
Well,
imagine that. Now, God creates man in his image. Now, man is going to reflect the glory of God.
See.
Right.
Now, Satan has an enemy.
Yeah.
Come on. Now Satan's like, wait a minute. And that one word God speaks a word. God says, be fruitful and multiply. Satan's like, wait a minute. Two is bad enough, but they're going to multiply? And you mean to tell me there's going to be numbers of those humans that are going to reflect the glory of God? But we can't have that. We can't have that. So we got to try to stop the multiplication. So he finds a way, thanks to Adam and his neglect, to slither in the garden. And he set out now to convince them that God was holding something back from them. Hear me? He's now set out to devise a plan. He finds the weaker one. Sorry, ladies, it's scripture. You should be thankful you don't have to bear. I know some, but I'm going to get political and you know, all of that stuff. But he chose the weak. You know, Adam was weak too because he let him in. That's why Adam was responsible for the transgression. So he looked. So man, you're still responsible for your house. Now, different message.
Come on.
True.
So now he sets out to convince them that God was holding something back from them. Because he said to Eve, he said, did God really say for you not to eat from any tree in the garden? Now think of that. He instantly created doubt in her mind. How many's ever, you know for a fact, somebody's told you something specific, and then somebody says, did they really say that? And then you're like, well, wait a minute.
Right.
You start questioning. So he said, did God really say for you not to eat from any tree in the garden? She said, he said we can eat of all the trees except the one that's in the middle of the garden. He said, if we eat of it or even touch it, we'll die. So understand that before Eve ever took a bite of the fruit, it was over. Because she had to touch it before she ate it.
Well, that's true.
He said, if you eat it or even touch it, you know, that's like telling a toddler, don't touch that. Because if you put your finger in there, you'll die. Right? So they're going to strive to touch it.
And look at you while they're doing it.
And so she said, he told us that if we would touch it or eat it. And here's what he said. Well, it's not that you will die. But it's because he knows the day you eat it, you will become like God. Knowing good and evil. So he was presenting to her that God was keeping something from her. Well, if I'm made in his image and I had this relationship with him, why would he keep anything from me? So Satan convinced her that God was keeping something from her. So here's what we need to understand. He tempted Eve with what she didn't have so he could steal what she did have.
Say that again.
He tempted Eve with what she didn't have so he could steal what she did have. Put that in 2025. We can put that in each and every one of our lives. Because the enemy comes at us as we're especially in our waiting, and when we're in a season, and we have situations, and we have needs, we have things obviously that need to be taken care of and provided, and we're waiting, and we're waiting, and we're waiting, right? And we're trusting, and we're believing, and the enemy will come and convince us that God is withholding something from us. And if you're not confident in who you are in Him and who He is to you, then you will begin to doubt that God is going to give you what you need. And you're going to feel like that God is pulling something away from you, that He's withholding something from you. Because now what the enemy's trying to do is he doesn't want what you're needing. He wants you to desire what you don't have so that he can seal your relationship with God that will now give him access and give him the authority in your life. So once again, he does not want what you have. He wants who is in you. He wants who you have. Amen. That's what he wants. He wants to, amen, to diminish and to weaken your relationship with God. Because every time he is successful, he can pull you and draw you down. Hallelujah. And now, amen, he was successful because Eve ate of the fruit. The Bible doesn't say it was an apple, so we can't say that. Amen, but she ate of that fruit, and sin, death came. Now, amen, when they conceived and they multiplied, amen, sin was present, amen, in their seed. Hallelujah. So now, that's why, praise God. Amen. From that point on, hallelujah, Satan sought, amen, to mix the seed. He sought, amen, to bring mixture into the seed because he knew, because God said to him, that I will bring a seed that will put his foot on your head. He will destroy you and crush you. And I have put enmity between my seed and her seed. Hallelujah. So now he sought out, amen, to mix and mingle the seed because he was trying to keep the seed of redemption from coming to the earth. But on that glorious day when the Lord found favor, amen, like Jacob did in Joseph, with a young virgin girl named Mary who was engaged to Joseph, and the Holy Spirit of God, the same Spirit that hovered over the face of the earth, and God said, let there be light, and the Holy Spirit, the breath of God, was hovering. Hallelujah. That same Holy Ghost hovered over Mary, and out of the Holy Ghost came the seed of the Messiah. Would somebody help me? Hallelujah. It's eventually going to be over. So I got to do everything I can to stop anybody from receiving that seed. Well, because he messed up and it was not over. But Jesus said to Satan, it is finished. It is over. You got a little more time, but the time's coming when it's going to be finished. There's a grand finale coming. But until then, those of us who are in Christ Jesus with that incorruptible seed in us, the who that Satan hates tells us, because he finished it, it ain't over for us until he says it is over. In all actuality, what she had was enough, which was a relationship with God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was enough. Look at somebody around you and say, God's enough.
God's enough.
God's enough. At the end of the day, you don't need a man, woman. You don't need drugs. You don't need a fix. You don't need anything else. At the end of the day, there's a place in you that only God can fill. And if you let God satisfy that place in you, Jesus said, those that drink of me shall never thirst again. But it blesses us and lets us have a mind, a spouse. Are you with me? And a friend. And all of these things. While we're here. But until God can become your first.
Right. You're not. See.
He's not acceptable with anyone or anything else being your first. So what she had was enough. Relationship with God. She stopped guarding her relationship to acquire stuff.
Yeah.
I'll say that again. I said she stopped guarding her relationship with God to acquire stuff. Be careful. Be careful in your acquisition of blessings. Because you'll get caught up in the acquiring and in the pursuit. And you'll stop guarding your relationship with the Father. And that is the most important thing, because that's what Satan is after. See, here's the thing with Joseph and his coat. He ticked the enemy off. Because it's not about stuff. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Here's what you got to understand. When the enemy sees us fighting, when he sees us raising our hands, when he sees us persevering, when he sees us have good marriages and healthy family structure, and he sees unity among the brethren, he becomes jealous. Because that's a sign of right relationship with God. Because you want your marriage healthy, get your relationship right with God. Come on. You want your family whole, get your relationship right with God. Put God first. Are you with me? And so when he saw some of you in here this morning, standing up, clapping. We ain't clapping because of the music, because of the songs.
Right.
These things cause us to respond, but that's not what he fights for. He don't care how good the worship team is.
Right.
He don't care how nice the facility is. He doesn't care why what we're responding to that's causing us to clap and lift our hands. It's why we do it. It's what he fights for. That's why when you can show up in your coat, even when by all rights you could just not show up. And sometimes you show up and leave your coat in the car. Because you lack confidence of your place to lift your hands and worship. Who am I talking to today? You lack the confidence in your relationship with God to stand boldly and lift your hands. I've been there. I know that it happens. See, he doesn't want what we're responding to. He wants why we stand and clap our hands and lift our hands. And why we say, I'm going on with Jesus just the same. If my mom don't go, not going to hinder me. If my dad don't go, not going to stop me. If my sister don't go, it's not going to hinder me. If my brother don't go, it's not going to hinder me. If pastor quits, I ain't quitting. If the worship team don't show up and don't sing, I ain't stopping my praise. Need the worship team to give me a reason to clap and give me a reason to lift my hands. I'll respond to it, but that's not why I do it. I do it because of who I am and who he is in me and what he's done for me. God. They can be standing, hallelujah, and storms and hurricanes and tornadoes in the spirit can be moving all around, surrounded by demons on every side, but they can still stand and lift their hands and clap, and they show up with their coat that their father gave them because it's his favor. Somebody better help me in this place. Are you with me? I'm not going to keep you a whole lot longer. So you better get right quick. Relationship is what he's after. I've told people for years, when they're upset and especially when somebody hurts their feelings or they get offended and they stay home, you ain't hurting nobody but your relationship. Why are you gonna take that out on the very one that saved your life? Well, I just ain't gonna show up and worship. Oh, okay. Okay, bumping on the wall, sitting in the recliner and sue. Go right ahead and see where that gets you. See how that happens. Come on, we've all been there. Right?
I've been there, but I ain't staying.
That. No, I'm out of that. Praise God. I used to identify with that more than I did with my relationship with him.
Like you said, been there. However.
He doesn't care. Listen, Linda. He doesn't care. He doesn't even care if you have a coat as long as you have no relationship with the Father.
Yeah,
I'll preach that on another time. Showing up with the coat, no relationship.
Yeah.
Oh, hallelujah.
Yep. You got enough.
My point being is he don't care if you got a coat. Mm-hmm. He cares if you know why you can wear that coat.
Right.
The wall of hell assailed me.
Right.
I shall not be moved. Jesus will not fail me. I shall not be moved. I'm just like a tree, as the book of Psalms says, planted by the waters. I shall not be moved. I'm like the oak, hallelujah, that stands tall. Hallelujah, I've been through some stuff, but it's just made me stronger, made me more durable. The wind can't break and bend an oak tree as easy as it can a pine tree. And the Bible says the righteous are like the oaks of righteousness. Are you hearing me today? Because if you're connected to the Father, the coat isn't important. Because he can always make you a new one. Remember Samuel? Every year his mama, Hannah, made him a new coat as he grew and took it to him in the temple. So he's like, well, I lost my coat. Well, I just gave you hope. It ain't over. Because the one that gave you the other one can give you a new one. Come on, somebody. You can give it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Because that hope is the favor of God. And it's the Father's intent for you. Or to put it in Hebrew terms, it's the promise. That coat is the promise. But you see, the dream revealed God's destiny and purpose over Joseph's life. Because the dream said they would bow down to Joseph. And they said, so, oh, okay, sure, you'll be king and you'll boss us around.
But
they said to him, oh, so you really think you're going to be king and you're going to boss us around? Joseph said, it's my dream. And it says, the Bible says, they hated him even more. That's three levels of hate already for Joseph. So be careful with the seed of bitterness, because it will grow. And it'll get deeper and deeper and deeper. And it'll turn into hate and more hate and more hate. Are you hearing me? So now they got three levels of hate. They hated him because of his relationship with his father. They hated him, amen, because he come wearing the coat. Now they hated him because he had a dream that they were going to bow to him. Then Joseph shows up in his coat and says, hey guys, I had another dream. You know, in my mind this morning, I was thinking, I might have been like, I'm not going to keep that dream to myself.
Right,
right. Right? Like you're thinking. Because he said, this dream, it was the sun, the moon, and 11 stars bowing to him. Now they hated him so much they wanted him to die. Your enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And he'll do whatever he can, trample over whoever he has to accomplish just that. And even Jacob was offended. His dad was offended because he went and told his dad the dream. And even Jacob was offended at the notion that he could be exalted higher than his parents and his brothers. Jacob's like, boy, I don't know about that. It ain't making sense. See, everything God has for us and what he does to get us where we need to be to fulfill the purpose that he has set over our lives isn't always going to make sense to everybody else. It's not supposed to. Most of the time, it don't even make sense to you. Even after you're in it. You're trying to make sense of it. Right? So even Jacob was offended. So that coat was really the beginning stage of Joseph's purpose. It became the seed of his destiny. It was after he received the coat, he got the first dream. Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
Now, what would it have been had he given, had God given Joseph the dream first and then Jacob giving the coat afterwards? That would have had a way different effect on his brothers. But God gave him the coat first to show his favor, the father's favor, and promise over his life of a double portion of an inheritance that he didn't earn, but he was blessed with.
Come on,
are you with me? And then God gives him the dream. So that coat was just that beginning stage of Joseph's purpose. It was like the seed of his destiny. Did you know that I heard somebody say one time that a squirrel can eat an oak tree in its beginning stage? Some of you just got that. Some of you are still like, because what is the beginning stage of an oak tree? An acorn. And a squirrel can devour the future of an oak tree by simply eating an acorn. He can take that seed, which is the beginning stage of that oak tree's purpose and destiny, just like Joseph's coat. Are you hearing me? But when an acorn becomes a tree, the squirrel doesn't eat the oak tree. Instead, he climbs it as a place of refuge. Think on that for a minute. I'm going to give you a minute to chew on that. See, the very thing the enemy wants to destroy, the beginning stages, the beginning seed of your destiny or your coat, he wants to destroy because he knows if it reaches its potential and purpose, it's going to become a place of refuge and comfort for you. I've never seen a squirrel on an oak tree. Maybe one that's wild and lost its mind and crazy or demon possessed or something might go off and I'm trying it, but you get the point. So for some of you that you feel like the enemy has stolen your coat, I've come to remind you why he wants to do that, but to also tell you it ain't over. It ain't over because he knows the very thing that's in that seed that God has placed, that promise, that favor, and that blessing, and that covenant is going to, when it comes to fruition, it's going to become a place of refuge and a strength. We already told you that we are the mighty oaks, amen, of righteousness. Amen. The enemy sees the indication of covenant favor. He sees the very indication. And so he sets out to bring devastation to your life early on. This is why early on in your life, in your childhood, the enemy set to destroy and to devastate your life. Because he thinks that he can destroy the beginning stages of it. Come on, somebody. This is where he can begin to sow seeds of unworthiness and insecurity and rejection and trauma. This is why some of you experience abuse. This is why he wants to expose our young children to pornography and the filth, the debauchery that's there. Why you can walk out in public and you can hear 7 and 8 and 9 year olds take God's name in vain and use the F word. Don't even get me started on cussing Christians. Because I will tell you unequivocally that it is not the favor of God for a Christian to use profanity. My Bible doesn't say, I shall not cuss. But there's plenty of other scriptures about what comes out of your mouth.
Come on now.
That decides. Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
And this is why you can go and you can hear these little kids and he's exposing them to pornography and then they spend the next 25, 30 years trying to struggle and suffer with the trauma of sexual abuse and physical abuse and all of these things. And the enemy convinces them that their coat, their destiny is over. But I've come to remind somebody that we serve a God who said, I will take the years that the locust hath eaten. I will take the years that the cankerworm has destroyed, and I will return them back to you. I will redeem them just as if they had never been lost. I need somebody here to shout, at least 3 people, better than that. Hallelujah. I will restore unto you. I come to tell somebody it ain't over. It's up to your father. You will rejected and left. And this is why so many of these teenagers and young people, amen, are struggling with same-sex attraction and all of this gender identity heresy from hell. Their gender was created by man. There's no such thing as gender. There's two sexes created by God, male and female. All of the other stuff is scientifically created by man. And when you come to the conclusion that you were made to reflect the glory of God, God didn't take and breathe his breath in you and give you a name and a destiny and a future for you to walk around and meow like a cat, bark like a dog. Somebody help me. You're better than that. Do you hear me? You are not an animal. You have been created. God help me while I say this. You have been created in the image of God. And I don't care how many times the devil has taken your coat and your identity. It ain't over till the Creator says it is over.
Hallelujah.
I ain't in my notes, but somebody, nothing else, hell.
Come on.
Needs that reminder this morning.
Amen.
He wants to convince you to not wear the coat of promise.
Yeah.
He's saying, young people, wanting to kill themselves, finding relief with cutting themselves, and finding peace as the blood flows out of their body. God help us. But I come to tell you today, if you're here, you're breathing, and you're in your right mind, even if you're not, he can restore your mind.
Amen.
But you get my point.
Yes.
It ain't over. God loves you too much to just let you slip on by with no disregard. I've been there. Sat in service after service, feeling unworthy, feeling rejected, feeling lost, so insecure, trauma, soul wounds. And yet, no hope that I could see. Not wanting to live. The sad thing is not caring whether you live or die. There's a difference in not wanting to live and then not caring whether you live or die. And so I want us to understand that that's why the enemy comes. And he comes in that early stage. And that's why he comes after you when you're a baby in Christ. I love it. Come to class this morning. And Sister Mary Jo teaching on being on the milk and being a baby in Christ. And being mature and being on the meat. Like, hallelujah, praise God. Because the enemy doesn't want you to grow. Because he wants you, just as some of you have from your childhood and with your past, he wants you, as you continue to grow, to have to sort through the consequences of the trauma. Everything's got to be filtered through a traumatic response. And you feel stuck and you feel hopeless. And let me tell you, Joseph was home. And his brothers were tending the sheep in Shechem. And Jacob sent him to see if things were going good. Poor Joseph. For some reason, he was home. Probably because about to beat him to death. His dad probably, I don't know. But his dad said, I need you to go find your brothers. I need you to check on your brothers. And he sent him to see if everything's going good. They weren't in Shechem, but they were about 15, 20 miles west or north, I can't remember, of Shechem. He found them in Dothan. Now, see, if I'd have went to Shechem and they weren't there, I'd have went back and said, Dad, I don't know where they're at.
Yep.
And Joseph, in his coat of many colors, kept walking miles looking for him. Reuben! Did you guys do that? Think about that. Looking for them. And he found them. So now imagine them thinking, shoot, Joseph's not here. And they even left where they were supposed to be and traveled to Dothan. And they're in the field. And they look up, and here comes Joseph. Dad sent me to make sure you guys were doing all right. Oh, so now you're our supervisor. So now you're going to sit at home with Dad, and we're going to sit and do the work, and you're going to come and act like you're going to supervise us. Think about it. That's why the enemy wants you, your relationship with the Father so much. Because he knows that if you let God in control, that you're going to hold him at bay. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. And so there's that. Let's just kill him. They didn't. They said, you know what? Let's just kill him. We got, I can't put up, I can't put up with him. Let's just kill him. But one of his brothers, slips in my memory which one it was. One of his brothers said, no, we can't kill him. We don't want to kill him. Let's just sell him. Sell him in his slavery. And what did they do? They sold him into slavery. Joseph found himself in a pit. He found himself on a selling, an auction block, being sold as a slave. But they took his coat and they said, we gotta cover it in blood. We're gonna have to tell Dad that something happened to him. Here's the evidence and here's the coat. I don't know if the Bible says it or not, whether it does or not, but I can imagine Jacob holding on to that coat all those years that Joseph was in Egypt. And looking at that bloody coat, thinking, it's over. All the blessing and the plans and the purpose and the provision that I had for him, it's over. And they said, let's kill him. And then they said, well, let's sell him off as a slave. And here's what they said. See what happens with his dreams now. See what happens with his dreams now. Until a few decades later, they needed food. There was famine. And they found themselves in Egypt. And Joseph, being a Hebrew, had been advanced and was sitting in a high place. And they found themselves bowing to him, asking for provision. And he looks and says, are you my brothers? Can you imagine the egg on their face? Crud. The dream didn't die. We wanted to kill him, and we thought if we got rid of him, we'd get rid of the purpose. But here we are, all of us, parents, all of us, bowing to him for provision. Are you hearing me? I've come to tell somebody. Hallelujah. It may look like that you're finished. Amen. But that doesn't mean that the purpose that God has put over your life is dead. The dream, if I can say it like that, is not dead. Hallelujah. Because it ain't over until He says it's over. Hallelujah. Amen. You got to understand. Hallelujah. They took His coat, but He still had relationship with His Father. So you need to tell the enemy, you can take my coat, you can take everything that I identify with, but you cannot take my relationship with God. You cannot take that. They discarded Him like He was worthless. They took the coat, but the dream had already been destined. Hallelujah. It ain't over. As they come to the music this morning, I don't know who the Lord is talking to today, but I've come to tell you, hallelujah, that the enemy wants you to think that it is over and that it cannot be a man redeemed. But I've come, hallelujah, with a reminder from heaven. I was going to preach something so different. Hallelujah, but the Lord led me to Genesis 37. Hallelujah. And of course I said, Lord, you really want me to preach on the coat of many colors? You know how many times that's been preached on? Hallelujah. But you know how that goes. I've told you before, I never win. I never win. If I have to walk away, if I win, amen, but I'm never going to walk away. It's not my brain, amen, to do it. But I'm telling you today, hallelujah, as you stand with me across this place, hallelujah, some of you are in here, amen, and that sense of unworthiness, that sense of rejection, that sense of trauma, that sense of sorting through all of the things as the enemy, amen, came early on and trying to destroy the beginning stages, amen, of the promise. Hallelujah. God said, I've already destined, amen, it to be an oak tree. Amen. Praise God. So don't you give up. Look at somebody. Touch somebody and say, don't you give up. Don't you give up. I feel that in the Holy Ghost. Don't you give up, because it ain't over. It ain't over. Hallelujah. The enemy may have stripped your coat that your father gave you, discarded you like you were finished, set you aside. You find yourself in a pit. But I've come to tell you that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob formed you in your mother's womb. He created you to reflect His image. Hallelujah. And in His image, His glory will be revealed. It ain't over. If you're breathing here today, it ain't over. If you're able, hallelujah, to hear me today, it ain't over. Your marriage ain't over. Your finances ain't over. Your health ain't over. Your career ain't over. Your mind ain't over. It ain't over. Because God has the final say. Hallelujah. You don't have to understand it, you just have to believe it. Come on. The sound of my voice, you're lost and you don't have the right relationship with the Lord. You have not repented. You've not asked Jesus to save you. I want you to come today.